In last night's dream, a homeless man comes around to my house, and for some reason, I allow him in just to talk to him, to see what he was about, curiosity maybe. And I had built a cage for my animals, and I was a little worried that the man might steal something from me because he was homeless. And the cage was big. It was big. It could fit a human person. And we talk and get to know each other. And I take a liking to the man, or an interest. I said an interest, not a liking, but an interest. And while I'm not there, I think to myself, well, maybe I could put him into the cage so that I know what he's accessing. And so for the first day, I put him into the cage while I'm gone. And the very first time I put him into the cage and return, he's no longer in the cage. And I knew he was going to find a way out of the cage. And then I think to myself, well, I knew that would happen. Somehow he seems to have abilities that are far beyond what is visible to me or knowable to me just from looking at him. And like what he hasn't shared about himself. The measurements that I know of to evaluate something, I just don't have those considerations to gauge his abilities with. And sure enough, the man sticks around for a while, and I really take an interest in him, and he kind of becomes my friend. And I'm wondering whether there's so much I don't know about him. Like, what if, and I guess I'm focusing on, like, the negatives of the possibility of entertaining someone in my life. And I asked myself, what if he is into, something illegal or nefarious or has ill will toward me or my family? How would I know? How would I protect myself? So I decide to put a different type of technological lock on the door, of the cage. And after I put it on and think about it, I think, no, this too he will get out of, you know, and it's pointless to even put him in there. And so then I decide, well, I'm going to just trust him. And at the point at which I trust him, he shows me what he's collected during the day when I have been away. And he has with him a bunch of money. And I think to myself, well, how did you get this money then? And he's got like way more money than I have. And yet he's presenting as a homeless person. And I'm thinking, well, you must be stealing and selling or panhandling, or what are you doing to acquire all this money? And I ask him, you know, are you stealing? And he tells me no. And then that's when he confides in me that he is actually not from this world. And that he has he has abilities to go beyond and to see things that normal people can't see. And that's how he has an edge on, and what he wants just simply comes to him. And he just, and it's like, you know, like if he wants money, he just, it just appears or things happen or something that makes it so, you know? And, I think to myself, well, maybe this would be a good type of relationship to have. But what if, and there's always these what ifs, what if that ability or skill of his is determined to be, you know, not per the rules of my environment? And my benefiting from those rules makes me, you know, like I don't want to get in trouble, you know? And so I decide to, okay, I'm going to hold them. I'm going to keep them or, you know, stay in contact with him. I mean, after all, he's living with me. I give him more space and more freedom, and because obviously he's not going to steal from me because he's got more than me anyways. So, and so I open myself up more and more to him, and he then confides in me more, and he tells me more about where he comes from, and he tells me about these missions that are going on that people are being transformed by the presence of people like him, and he tells me that there is a scheduled event that is going to happen. And so when the event happens, I have a well-established house with a fence and the walls, the perimeter of my walls are defined, you know. And during this event, a lot more like him appear, you know, in society, in the neighborhood, in the world, in life, you know, more like him start to appear. And they come in unnoticeable. So unnoticeable, such that they are like insects to us. They are like we are so oblivious to them that they are like the insects. Like we just don't care about them, right? And maybe it's true about the homeless too. It's like we see them there, but we don't really care about them, you know. And we move on. We wave them on and dismiss them. And so the world is full of these homeless people that appear like to everyone like insects. And there are more and more of these homeless people. And these homeless people, their vibrations, they're fluttering like think about the wings fluttering and the legs moving real fast, and that vibration that makes like a sound, like a tone, and it changes the vibration of everything in in our environment, you know. So even though we dismiss them, their effect on us is quite more profound than we could even, that we even have the wherewithal to, you know, pick up on. And so I can see it happening. I can see it happening. And it's like, it's destroying our, the fabric of our, well, not destroying it, but it's completely obliterating the walls that we put up to protect ourselves. So, and he apparently is my little insect. And so, and here, see, I welcomed him in. And by me, and not being just curiosity, I let him in. And so his little vibrations started to affect me, right? And so then I see, like, I see what I perceive to be as the devastation of humanity, right? And like the tearing down of maybe of our understanding of our, you know, the way all our notions, all the preconceived ideas, all the you know, things that we just accept it as true, you know, start to crumble. And I see him coming home because I'm in my house with my very well-defined perimeter that I now have constructed. And like with his help and his support, because he lives in my house too, you know, my house is even more fortified, right? It's like better. It's like improved. I've had time to, you know, fix things in the house and repair and make stronger, you know. And so he comes around and it's his turn to destroy my walls, right? And so he sits at the edge of my wall and he's, and I know he's coming to tear the walls down, my own walls in my house. And I see it happening and I'm thinking, but I need my house. Why would you be doing this to me? So I decide, okay, this is not time to fear whatever is happening, but this is a time when I must like merge with him. Like I must, and I mean merge in the sense that I must face him off, right? And either be absorbed by him or like completely changed by him, or have him see what his effect is and either change it or like adjust or come to a like a compromise of the yin and yang, or like of the yin and yang, right? Like where is the balance in nature, right? Between maybe all life, like humans, insects, trees, birds, whatever, animals, like where, what is our balance? And he's, so I go and I sit on the wall and I sit on the wall. And since I have friended him, you know, by letting him in all this time, by letting him into my wall house and having him get to know me and me get to know him and trusting and allowing ourselves to, you know, be with one another and know each other. Like I sit at the, on the wall and he sees me and he is, and then I see how my effect, what my effect has on him, and my effect comes in a different form. Like my effect is through trust and openness and a willingness and, you know, just a surrender, like, and all those things that I have had to do to, you know, welcome him and accept and make space in my house to, you know, like, allow him in, like, you know, freedom, like, to give him freedom and space and openness, right? And willingness to look at life differently. And in that, I am able to maintain my self-awareness and yet also my collective awareness of everything else in space and time, right? Or everything that's happening around me. Because the only thing I see is my house, my boundaries of my house, and everything else. So there's only two things in the world. There's my self and my boundaries and self and within and everything else. And everything else is a collection of all these, like, people like me that also have their boundaries and whatever, and insects and like those other factors that we dismiss. And in my world, there's him who I've let in, and me and my space, and then so I seem to be allowed to continue, right, with, like, now an even more open awareness, because now I'm allowed to go beyond myself. Go beyond myself and into the neighborhoods and areas outside of myself. And I start to walk, and I'm walking, and I see, like metro stations and stores and homes, and I can see all these things being transformed before me, and I see that. In some places, there are police, or what look to be like an authoritative figure. Like, so there's like a new element, this authoritative entity that patrols or is responsible for not order per se, because what I think order should be is different than what they are tasked to maintain order. So those two orders are like coming into oneness, but not yet there. They still have like another phase of merging, right? The mass, like, as we reach the tipping point of this transformative state, and the mass of all this collective vibrationing is nearing its climax, there's a moment of complete stillness where everything stops, and like all the people stop moving, and then it's like the point of contact, where everything just for a moment is like, well, what next then? And so there's the insects continue to move, continue to vibrate. They have not stopped. Like, they've seemed to be still doing their job, right? And the people have stopped. And like, and then there comes a moment when I have to decide, well, did I stop or did I continue? And which one is it? And obviously, I'm not I'm still aware of myself, so I'm really not stopped. But I can fake it. You know, I can fake it to see to observe what is going to happen beyond now. So for a little bit, I just stop there and wait and like pretend that I too have paused in time, and so that they maybe don't recognize me immediately, as like they can't tell what side I'm on or like where I fit. And I pause there for a minute, and then I think to myself, well, if I have the ability to still move, then I would not be like true to myself, and I should still move. If that's who I am, then I need to continue to move. And if I chose to stand still for a minute, then that is a choice that I can exercise. But I can continue to move. And so I do that. So I continue to move and walk. And I go toward an area that has a line of patrol people. And like, okay, I'm going to see if these people recognize me. And I think they recognize that something different is happening too, that they maybe are unaware of. And like, they are surprised too. And they don't know how to react. Like this is now a choice for them. I go and I can see and they are above on an escalator. So they are like one level above where I am, and I continue to stand there, and one of them waves me on, like saying, come, like, I want to see who you are. So I come closer, and so I come closer, but I don't really come face to face with him. Instead, I turn, I rotate 360 degrees around. I don't know, like, to the right. I go to the right and I rotate clockwise once, right? I rotate clockwise, and then I stand there and confront him. And in, like, that was my response to his come close. I rotate clockwise. I don't know what happens after that. I think I woke up. I think I woke up.